First of all, I'd like to be thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'd like to thank the good Lord for the opportunity every time I have to be able to get up here and to talk about Him. I don't take it lightly when I get to come up here. I get up here and I look, and there's so many people out there that I feel know so much more about the Bible and so much more worthy to be up here than myself. I feel like I'm never good enough to talk about the good Lord. I never be good enough to be able to get up and tell what I should about Him. But I thank God for His grace, for His love, for His help. I thank Him for loving me, for dying for me. I've been reading, we watched the teens a while back, we watched Passions of the Christ. And since then I've been reading in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about His birth and His death. And it's just, man, it just, the more you read and then you watch the movie and then you keep reading it, just, man, the more it just hits you every single day. The more I still look at myself, though, and wonder how in the world I still sin and turn my back on Him at times, which knowing what He's done for me. If you would, turn to the book of Job. Hopefully I can relay to you what I feel God has put in my heart, what I felt like He's really talked to me about. Job chapter 2, we'll read verse 11 through 13. Appreciate you standing for the reading of God's Word. Job chapter 2, 11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they had lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Brother Chris, would you mind asking the Lord's blessing? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I tell you, every time I get up here, I feel like I want God to just give me one of the messages where when you get up here, you just scream and shout and run in the whole pews and jumping. And I guess I've yet to really get up here and really do that. But I feel like I want to try to relay to you what God has put in my heart. You see, Job had went through some problems. We'll go back and we'll look at Job. But I was riding down the road and I was talking to Karen. We were talking about church and we were talking about how you help each other, you're there for each other, how you take care of each other. And we were talking and I told her, and I guess if I had a title tonight, I don't know, it would be Help or Hinder. Help or Hinder. Because we were talking and I was telling her, I said, you know, as a friend, sometimes you want to be there for people. You want people to be able to call on you. You want to be there for them. You want to be... To me, you want to be the people that everyone calls on. But if you want to be the people that everybody calls on, then you got to lead a life that's worthy for people to call on you. The last thing I'd want to do is tell people, you can call on me, you can count on me, and then when they call and they need you, I'm not there, or I've not been praying, I've not been seeking God, I've not been where I need to be able to help them. And I feel a lot of times in my life, I've hindered more than I've helped people. Job had some three friends that come. And when they heard of it, they got together and was like, we need to go and we need to take care of him. He's our brother. He's hurting. It said when they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Their goal was to comfort their friend. Their goal was to be there for him because they knew he was hurting. They knew he was having trouble. They knew he was struggling. So their goal was to be there for him, to lift him up, to comfort him, to let him know, hey, it's okay that you're going through rough times. We're here for you. We're going to be there with you. We're going to uplift you. We're going to comfort you. We're going to let you know that you're not going to face this alone. We're going to let you know that even though you're going through trials and you're going through troubles, you don't have to face them alone. You've got friends here with you. You got friends to take care of you. You got friends that are there for you. Brother Chris said something, and I can't remember a lot, but this stuck in my mind. And Brother Chris said something when he got up here one time, and he said, "Not everybody that is with you is for you." And that has stuck in my mind and stuck in my mind, and I've also thought, God, please don't let me be that person that's with someone but not be for them. Help me to be for the people that I am with. Job was a righteous man. If you've read the book of Job before, you know that he was. Job was rich. Job had 10 children. Job was, I wanted to read it correctly. It said Job, he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. God let the devil tempt him. God let the devil take everything from him. God said, you can take everything but his life. You can't have his life. So Job lost everything. One after another, a servant comes saying, hey, all your children's gone. Hey, all your camels are gone. Hey, all your donkeys are gone. Hey, everything you've got is gone. So Job lost everything. Imagine if you were in the place of Job, regardless if you're rich or poor, imagine if you lost everything you had. To me, you can lose a camel, you can replace them. The donkey, the animals can be replaced. Houses can be rebuilt. But when he lost his children, to me, that's when it would have been detrimental. Because we look at things in this life that we can replace these. Oh, I can get more camels. I can get more animals. I can do this. I can work hard enough. I can get that. That's just how we're geared. That's how our mindset is. But when it comes to his children, to me, that would have been detrimental. And I don't know where I'd have went or what I would have done. But Job had some friends that said, you know what? We're going to be here for Job. We're going to comfort him. We're going to be there with him. And we're going to take care of him. As I got reading more and more about this, I haven't read Job in a while, and the more I read, and the more I've seen that his friends did a lot of times what I've done in my life. I thought I was helping, but really I was hindering. They come to him, and they didn't speak for 7 days. They sat there, and they showed Job that they were with him. You got friends that are going to be here for you, and it means a lot to have a friend that's there for you, a friend that doesn't judge you, a friend that doesn't beat you down, a friend that doesn't tear you down, a friend that lifts you up and encourages you, that says, hey, it's all right if you've done wrong. Don't worry. God will forgive you. We'll get past this. You don't need somebody beating you down and tearing you down. The world teaches us that that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to encourage each other and lift each other up. We're not supposed to be there for each other and comfort each other. This world teaches you that you're supposed to step on everybody you can to make yourself look better, to be the better person. Unfortunately, there's people we know that will stab someone in the back if it makes them look better, if it makes them feel like they would be better, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, wherever it may be, at work, whatever it is, there's people like that in life. And instead of being those type of people, we need to be the people that help, not the people that hinder. We need the people to be the people that heal, not the people that hurt. A lot of times in my life, I look back and I see I was the person that hindered and I was the person that hurt. The two things that I didn't want to do was the things that I done. I want to be there to encourage people, to help people, to lift them up. But instead, I wasn't reading, I wasn't studying, I wasn't praying, I wasn't focused where I needed to be, and I was a hinder and a hurt to them. There's people that have come to you in your life and you want to be there for them and you want to lift them up and you want to encourage them. But a lot of times I was the hinder and I was the hurt to them. Job's friends did the same thing. If you read on, you read that the first thing Job starts talking about, and I try to picture what Job's facing right now. Because the more you read what Job says, the more he is miserable. God, why didn't you just let me die? Why didn't you just let me die when I come out of the womb? Why did I get this far? Why did I get all this stuff and then lose it all? God, just let me die. Just leave me alone and let me die. My last few days, and I was reading it, and it says it a few times, and I read the NLT in one part of it, and that's what it was saying. God, just these last few days, just let me die in peace. Just let me die. Because I try to lay in bed, and I know I'm going to find rest, but I can't because I'm filled with sores, and they're oozing out, and I'm hurting, and maggots are on me. And I'm miserable. God, please just let me die in peace. That's what Job was saying. Job was hurting. Job was struggling. And I try to put myself in his shoes. I try to put, there's times that I've needed a friend to be able to help me. I've needed somebody to lift me up, somebody to encourage me. And I've been the friend to come to someone and say, you know what, I'm going to help this person out. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to show them that I'm there for them. And I did the same thing Job's friends did. The first thing Job's friends did is start telling him how wrong he was, that he knows he sinned, and this is the reason this has befallen on him. Your children, one of them said, your children sinned and they deserve what they got. They sinned. They deserve what the punishment that they received. You've sinned, so you're not even getting what you deserve, Job. You deserve even more than this. So instead of encouraging him and helping him, they started, I guess they thought they were helping, but instead they were hindering and they were hurting even worse. Job was hurt. Job was beat down. Job was just really wanting to die. God, just let me die. Just let me die. That's all I want. That's all Job wanted, because he had lost everything. There's times in my life I've been to hinder. I've been the hurt. I've been the one that's wanted to go in and sow peace and help out. And instead, I've sowed discord and I've hurt and I've hindered people. I hate to say that about myself. I want to look back at myself and see that I'm the person that's always encouraged and helped and uplifted people. But I find in my life I've let people down more than I've ever hurt, more than I've ever helped, more than I've ever healed, more than I've ever encouraged and lifted them up. There's a guy at my job, no matter what, whatever you done during the day, he was always at the end of the day encouraging people. He's like, man, you did a good job up there. You did a good job up there. I mean, it didn't matter if I went up there and it was terrible. When I come down, he's like, you did a good job up there. I was like, quit lying to me. Just tell me the truth. It looked terrible. And he wouldn't. He'd always tell everybody that. It was just like he had a knack for encouraging people. And I've sat back and I've watched him, and he's continued to do this every day. He's continued to encourage people and uplift them. People at work that may be younger, may be struggling, facing things. He's continued to encourage them and lift them up every day. And I'm like, God, why can't I do that? I've got other people that say, well, I just speak the truth and I tell like it is. I just tell people like it is. I don't care what they want to hear. I tell them what they need to hear. And I've learned about the truth and what our version of the truth may be. We may say what we may be the type of people who say, well, I just tell them like it is. I tell them it don't matter. Well, a lot of those people don't want to hear the truth. They just want to speak the truth. But if you're going to be willing to speak the truth, you got to be willing to listen to the truth as well. Because I've got in the Word of God, and what I've thought that I spoke the truth, and I've got in the Word of God, and it's like it slapped me in the face before. So you need to go back and get this right. You was wrong about this. If you're gonna talk it and you're going to tell it, then you need to go back and study it, and you need to get it right, and you need to let them know. You see, all Job wanted was some people to help him. All Job needed was some people that were there for him. Their first 7 days, I'm sure it was nice, because they just sat there. They felt his sorrow. They felt his pain. Years ago, it was like a dream at nighttime. There was a sister up here at the altar praying. And I know I've said it before, but I just dreamed it one night. She was up here in the altar praying, and her life was just in shambles and all. And I felt like I was praying for her, Lord bless and touch and be with her. And God was like, no, that's not what I want you to do. And then it showed me later in the dream, I just had my hands on the side of her head. And God was telling me, see her needs. Don't just pray a repetitious prayer that doesn't mean anything. See the needs of the people that you're talking to. See the needs of the people that you're praying with. See the needs of the people that are hurting, that are struggling. See their hurt. See their pain. Because if you can see their hurt, if you can see their pain, then you'll feel it and you'll honestly, earnestly pray harder for them. I've seen that. The guy that I know I've told y'all before that come to our work and prayed for his wife and daughter that she may not make it through the delivery and it wouldn't be good. And the night I went to bed and God was telling me, go, you need to pray for him. And I was like, I'll just lay right here in this bed. It's comfy. It's nice. I can lay right here and pray just as good. And I felt God telling me, no, go and pray for them. And I went into our old house. I went into our living room and I knelt down and I prayed. And it's not the fact that I had anything special about me. But the next day at work, I told my friend, I was like, tell your buddy everything's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. God's moved and God's going to touch. And he was like, okay. And I was like, no, you seriously got to tell him. He was like, all right, I'll let him know when I see him. I was like, no, you need to call him today and let him know when he goes to the doctor, it's going to be fine. So he was like, third time, he was like, all right, calm down. You know, I'll let him know. Well, I got a phone call one day. I was up in the bucket. I boomed down. Said that they had went to the doctor. Everything was fine with the baby. Wasn't nothing wrong with the wife. Everything's going to be okay. Well, years later, I took Katie to a little girl's house to spend the night party. And noticed the guy. The guy noticed me. And we talked. I was like, we kind of, he looks familiar. And he was like, man, I know you from somewhere. So we went on about our business. And then I went back that evening and got her. And we got talking more. And he was like, man. He's like, you work at Greystone? I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, he said her name. Well, do you know this person? Do you know this person? And I said, yes, sir. And I said, you don't happen to be the one at the Bible study that night, did you? And his or that morning? And he was like, yeah. I said, and you, your daughter, you were worried about her. And he was like, yeah, that's exactly who it is. Well, you see, we went through about 7 years without seeing him. I prayed that night. I knew God was going to touch. God was going to heal. I didn't hear any more when they had the baby. I just knew everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be fine. Well, I'm sitting here talking to this man, and I feel just stirring up inside me again like, oh, my goodness. This is the same people that you prayed for. So God is showing me that your prayers don't go unanswered. Your prayers don't go undone. Because even though I may have never met the people again in my life, even though I didn't think I'd ever see them again, 7 years later, I seen the effects of the prayer because she come running in before we left. She come running in whenever I was getting ready to leave, and he said, this is the one we prayed for. This is the child that we prayed for that day. And I knew God was telling me, this is the child you prayed for. Things were happening. Things were done because you got out of your comfort zone, because you quit being lazy, because you quit being sorry, because you quit wanting to hinder, and you started to help people. People are healed because you got out of your comfort zone. You see, my comfort zone is somewhere I like to be. I like to be in my comfort zone. I like to be quiet. I like to, if we go into a crowd, I like to sit in the back where I can watch everybody. Nobody can come in behind me. It's just where I like to be. We went to a class at work, and it was like a management type class to teach you certain things about management and all. And they were teaching you about what an introvert is, someone who stays to their self, sits in the back corner. They're like, we know what type of people some of you are. We can tell by just watching you. I'd walked in, I looked around the room, and it was set up like a classroom. You had all these desks and all these different co-ops and people I didn't have a clue who they were, and we had quite a few with us that I knew. So I walked in, and I looked around, and I was like, this back row is going to do quite nice. So I sat in the back corner, one from them. My friend sat on the end. He was the same way I was. That was our comfort zone. Well, the first thing they start doing in this class, take your name, you talk. Well, never we took, I think it was 10 classes. It was two a month. And never once did we have the same teacher. Because the guy that started off, I was like, oh, man, he's good. I'm going to like this class. It's going to be good. And he was like, well, I got some friends you're going to meet through these classes. I'm like, okay. We never had him again. The second class, I was like, where'd he go? I thought we was going to have him. And they was like, no, we won't have him again no more. And I was like, are you kidding me? I liked him. I felt comfortable with him. I was in my comfort zone. It was going to be good. So we didn't have him no more. Every class was a different teacher. Every class, they made you get out of your comfort zone. Every class, they made you get up, and they did it. They did all kind of exercises. They made you get up and go talk to people that you wouldn't normally talk to. They made you talk to people opposite of your co-op so that you would have to get to know people and see people. But my comfort zone was set back in there. That's where it is. That's where I like to be. There's times if I know you, I could probably talk to you from sun up to sundown. There's a lot of times if I really don't know people, I'll sit back here and be quiet and won't speak a word for hours. And I'm content with that. I'm okay with that. But that's my comfort zone, and I feel a lot of times my comfort zone hurts me, and I feel like God's telling me, you got to get out of that comfort zone. Just like in that class, I never would have talked to those people if they didn't make us get up and talk to them. Well, through talking to them, I got to know different people and got to see different things about them, know what they did for a living, see how it was the same as what we'd done, see how it was different from what we'd done, seeing how it could help you and benefit you and it could build you in my relationship. And I feel like God's telling me that a lot of times. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to quit coming in. And a lot of times I tell Brother Eddie Sisterpenny, we talk about services. We eat supper with them on Monday nights. So we'll talk about church services and all. And Sisterpenny will be like, man, Sunday morning's real good. I was like, I don't know. We're in kids' church. And then they talk about a Wednesday night one time. I was like, I don't know. I was in the teenagers. I miss this stuff. I said, Sunday nights you can talk to me about. The rest of them I feel like I miss. But it's a comfort zone. You get in, you get used to it. And it's not that you necessarily next plan on it, but it's just what you get used to. I get used to the same routine, going to work every day. Get up, get a shower, or get up, start the coffee, get it going. Then I try to read a chapter of the Bible, then I get coffee, then get a shower, and then leave the same routine we do every single day. Karen, the kids are out of school, so my routine changed a little bit. So I'm like, man, I got freedom. I don't got to make lunches and all. I can get out of here a little earlier. Usually leave at the same time. It's just what you have that you get used to. But I feel like a lot of time I get in my habits, and my habits keep me away from where God wants me to be. Because I think God wants to push me past my comfort zone to get me to where I can minister to people, to talk to people, to get out of my comfort zone. Because if I stay in my comfort zone, I'm only going to talk to the certain people that I know or the certain people that I like every single day, not the people that don't know about Him. And whenever I want to go into places and I want people to see God shining through me, and the only way that they're going to do that is if I read, if I study, if I seek God's Word, and if I tell about Him. Because I can tell you that I'm a great Christian and I can go out somewhere and I can be quiet and not say a word to nobody. And how are they going to know? How are they going to know if I don't live the life that I say that I live? I have to be able to be willing to live what I say. Job's friends had good intentions. Job's friends come to be able to encourage him, to lift him up. But instead, Job's friends started tearing him down in a way. They wasn't telling him, just praise God, lift him up. They was telling him, look, you sinned, you've messed up. You've just got to own this. You know, go to God. Let him know what you've done. Tell him you're sorry for what you've done. In all reality, Job didn't do anything. You know what Job did? Job served God. Job worshiped God. Job praised God. So we think that the only people that go through things and the only people that struggle and the only people that have these situations are people that are sinned and that are struggling and that are going through things. It's not the righteous people that are going through things. It's only the sinners and the strugglers. And I can tell you, I go through things a lot of times because I am a sinner and because I struggle. But I'm here to tell you today that Job went through this because he was righteous. Because God said, hey, I tell you what, you think you're so good, devil? You think you're so tough and you can do anything? Let's see what Job does. Job did. Job was like, man, I wish I'd just die. I can't take this. This is so bad. This is so hurtful. But Job held on to God. Not once did he curse God. Not once did he destroy God. Not once did he tear God down. But he kept fussing and arguing with his buddies, saying, I know what you're saying. I know you're saying I'm a sinner. I know you're saying everything I've done is wrong. But I've held on to God. I've not let go of God. I'm not going to let go of God. And Job didn't. And you see at the end how Job was restored twice as much as what he had. He had the same amount of children. He had twice as many animals as he had. God restored unto him. Why? Because he held on. He held strong. I want to be the friend that helps and heals people, not the one that hinders and hurts people. I don't want to be the one that tears people down. Even though they went in with good intentions, they turned around and they started breaking them down because they thought what they knew was right. But it wasn't what was right. It was tearing them down. And a lot of times we can't help others because we can't get over our own past. We can't get over our own lives. We can't get deliverance from what we face and what we've done. Yet we want to tell other people that God can deliver, God can move, God can strengthen. But yet I'm sitting here in turmoil in my heart and in my soul as I'm telling them this. And I can't truly sell it to you unless I've truly experienced it. I can't tell you God to deliver unless I've let Him deliver. And I've learned a lot of things about God. He's not going to take anything from you unless you give it to Him. You've got to give it up to Him. Because I've tried to give Him stuff before and pulled it back and pulled it back and pulled it back. And He's not going to hold you down and steal it from you. You've got to give it to Him. But once you give it to Him and you see the deliverance He has, you see the freedom, the peace, the comfort you can have when you give it to Him, then you'll be like, man, why didn't I give this to him years ago? Why did I hold on to it? And the devil's going to do everything he can. The devil would love to destroy each and every one of you in this church. The devil would love to tear you down, to get you out of church, to get you away from each other and just destroy who you are. Because you're serving God. You're coming, you're listening to God. You're reading your words, you're studying. And he would love to destroy you. He would love to take you out of church. But that's where we got to hold on. We got to help each other. We got to be here for one another. Although I may not talk to you, every one of you in every service, know that I'm praying for you and that I love you and that I'm here for you. I tell the teenagers, the children's church as well, but the teenagers are a little older. I tell them, if you have any problems, if you need prayer, whatever, call us. Me or Brother Kevin, call. You can call anybody in the church, but call us and we'll pray for you. Now, I don't expect to tell them that. And then if them call at 2 o'clock, say, Lazarus, I can't talk right now. I got to work in the morning and hang up. I know that if I tell them that, I got to be willing to back up what I tell them. If I tell them, call me if you need to talk at 1 o'clock in the morning. If you need to just sit and pray. If you need somebody to listen what you're going through. I've got to be willing to back up what I say I'm going to do. I can't tell Laz and Gabe, sorry, dude, I got to work tomorrow. Call me at 7. I'll be up and about. Then we can talk. I can't do that. Why? Because that'll be hindering and that'll be hurting. I may be the only thing that, and I may not do nothing but sit and listen. But that may be what they need at the time. Somebody may just need you to sit and listen. A lot of times I know as men, we're built to solve problems. Now, I'm not the best at solving them, but I feel like whenever Karen will come to me with something, my mind automatically starts thinking how we can solve the problem. My mind thinks that we can fix this. And she's hung up on what's going on. She's like, oh, this is, I'm like, don't worry, we can fix it. How do you expect it to fix it? You just keep saying it's going to work out. I'm like, it does work out. And she's like, yeah, because I worry about it and stress and have to get stuff. She's like, you say it's going to work out and you don't worry about it, but then I'm over here stressing what's going to happen. Well, a lot of times, one time I know we were praying financially. I was like, Lord, just bless us financially. Help us to be able to make bills. Help us. When you're young and you start out, sometimes it's hard. It's different than being at home with mom and dad where they pay the bills. So if you're young, stay at home. It's better. But it was different. And I was praying, God, please help us. Show us what we can do. And I don't expect God to just send checks in the mail. I don't expect to open the mailbox, which I know He can. But I went on call one week at work, and we worked a lot of overtime. Now, God didn't just send the checks in the mail. God let me work for what I received, but God also provided the need that was needed as well. I had a need, and I was honest, and I was praying, God, I don't see a way to... I knew I can't fix this one. God, I got to have Your help with this. And a lot of times that's when God starts moving. It's when we says, all right, Lord, there really ain't nothing I can do about this one. Because if I feel like I can fix it in my mind, then I really don't got to go to God a whole lot. I can go to Him and be like, Lord, help me out with this, but really I got it, Lord. You can just hang tight and watch this one. Knowing that He gives me breath in my body to be able to do what He allows me to do every day anyhow. So without Him, I can't do anything. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. Because without Him holding my hand, I can't get through life. I can't get through anything. But to know that God's there for us, that He'll uplift us, that He'll carry us through it, that He'll bring us through it all. But I don't want to be a hinder or a hurt. I want to be a help. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to be there when people are healed. Let it be my prayers, God, because I live for You, because I seek God. Job held strong to God. He didn't let go of Him. He didn't curse God. He cursed the day he was born, and Job wished he had died. And there's times when I was younger that it wasn't detrimental things, but I was like, Lord, it'd be easier if I wasn't here. Things would just go a lot smoother. I thought of that as a kid. Now, I wasn't thinking of suicide and all that, but I just thought, man, it'd be easier if I wasn't here. Things would go probably smoother. But God showed me that I'm here for a reason. Because, you see, I was chosen by God. Just like each and every one of you are chosen by God. Because there's people that I'm going to meet and I'm going to talk to that you're not going to. And there's people that you're going to meet and you're going to talk to, and you're going to be able to change their lives that I'll never meet in my life. So without you, God's plan will not be complete. And without me, I had to tell myself that God's plan will not be complete. He wants me to serve Him. He wants me to reach out, because there's people out there that only I can reach. And there's people out there that only you can reach. We can't reach them. There's a lot of times where I felt like I want to walk in and... You know how you see the movie where the angels walk in and they got the glow around them? That's how I want to walk in and people see me, you know. But, oh, man, look, he's a Christian. And be like, yes, yes, as you see it just flow through. Now, that's not how it happens. A lot of times people are probably wondering, is he a Christian? Is he really? Now, you like for it to flow through like that, but it doesn't. But I want to serve God so mightily. I want to be so wrapped up in Him and so in tune with Him that people can see without having to ask me, that they can say, man, there's something different about Him. He's always encouraging. He's always positive. Even when He's going through turmoil in His own life, He's still encouraging and helping other people. That's the type of person I want to be. I understand that I'm not there yet, but I pray that that's where I'll be, that I'll be able to help people, not hinder people. I feel like I've hindered people long enough, and I don't want to be a hindrance anymore. I want to be a help to people. People that are hurting, people that are struggling, people that are in need of prayer, people that are in need of someone to just reach out to God. I have a friend at work that his daughter was facing leukemia, and they've been in the hospitals and all. And there was times where he told me, he's like, man, we didn't know what to do. The day she went in for a bone marrow transplant, he said, you're just helpless. You're just there watching your kid. There's nothing you can do. They wheel them away, and they say, we hope this works. And he said, man, you're just helpless. You're hopeless. And the only focus you got is God. That's the only thing that can help you through this. Now, I believe God is turning their life around, because the last time I talked to him, his little girl was healing and she was doing better. And from what they understood, the bone marrow transplant has worked. They were in the Ronald McDonald House and she has continued to get better every day. She's still going to the doctors. I hadn't talked to him in a little bit, but I believe God turned their life around and he showed them that, hey, I got her and I've got y'all and I'm going to take care of this situation. But there's times where these people are hurting and they're struggling and they don't know where to go or what to do. And that's what we're here for. That's why the Bible talks about your brothers and your sisters. I think that's why it's so important that we come to church, because we have to build each other up. We're not here to tear each other down. We can go out in the world for that. But when you come in these doors, these four walls, then we should be here to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to help build each other up in the Word, not to tear each other down. We get enough of that stuff outside. We should be here for each other, to encourage and uplift, to pray for. That's what I love about the prayer request we got that I believe it's Sister Lori that sends out. Because when you got people going through situations, all it takes is a text. And then before you know it, you got 20, 30, 40, 50, however many people's on it, praying for you, praying for a situation. And I thank God for His healing, for His deliverance, for His strength, for bringing us through these things. I never want to be a hinder or a hurt in my life. I want to be a help, and I want to be able to be there to help heal people. I want to pray for them. I want to fast for them. There's a lot I got to do in my life to get there. I got to fast. I got to pray. I got to seek God. And I got to continue to be in His Word and not be in the world. And that's where I need to get in my life. Tonight, I didn't feel like it was going to be a long, drawn-out message. I didn't feel like, unfortunately, it was a screaming, shouting, and running message. But I felt like today, all I could get in my head was, do you help or do you hinder? Do you help or do you hinder? And a lot of times I feel like in my life I've hindered more than I've helped. And I pray that tonight, from here on out, I can change that and I can start helping people instead of hindering people. I want to be that help. I want to be that person that encourages, that uplifts, that builds them up and lets them know that they're going to be okay. I want to be the one that lets them know that God's with them. I want to have the words to say to people to let them know that God's with them. I got a friend that got an accident at work Thursday. He's in the hospital a few days. He got a little burn on his face. He's in the hospital a few days. He got to go home today, thank God. But I went and seen him, and I just looked for the words to say. You look for, because we're pretty close friends. Me and another guy, we just got to where we were just real good buddies. We hang out sometimes. And so when you got there and look at him, I told him, like looking at your son, I said, I didn't know what to say. I was like, Lord, you're going to have to give me some words to say, because when I walk in, I want to be the one to say something encouraging. Of course, his pastor had just left, so I don't know what I could have said that his pastor wouldn't have. But, you know, I walked in, and he was sitting there, and I told him later on. I didn't tell him then, but I told him later on. I said, I didn't know what to say to you. I said, I just wanted to sit on your bed and hug you because it felt bad for you. I said, I didn't know what to say, but just hug you and let you know that the good Lord was going to take care of you. And he knows God is, and I've talked to him, and he knows God's going to turn something bad into something good. And I thank God for that. I pray that I'm a help, not a hinder. I pray that God turns me into the person that He wants me to be, not the person that I have chosen to be at times. I pray that we can help others and not hinder others. If you would, everybody, if you wouldn't mind standing. I appreciate your attentive tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to get up here and talk about God's Word. Today, I just couldn't get away from the friends of the hinder and the hurt. And be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you allow into your life. Be careful who you allow, because they can help you or they can hinder you. And be careful that you help others and don't hinder others. If anybody in here needs prayer tonight, these altars are open and we'll be more than happy to pray with you. If not, our hearts and minds are clear. If everybody will bow your heads. Excuse me. Dear Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us have a good Father's Day. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come to church. to be able to worship our Father, to be able to glorify and honor and lift you up, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the love that you show us each and every day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the opportunity that I could be able to make it to heaven, Lord. God, I pray that you'd bless each and every soul that's in here, Lord. Help us to be a help, not a hindrance. Help us to encourage others, help us to lift each other up, God, and help us to be able to share your truth and your word. Help us, God, to not be a hindrance to others and tear them down, but help us to lift and encourage each other. God, go with us throughout this week. Help us to find one person that we can help, one person that we can encourage, one person that we can make a difference in their life through you, Lord. Bless each and every need. Continue to heal Sam. Continue to heal every need and every situation, every prayer request, and bless Mama and bless every need. Continue to bless them and be with us throughout this week, Lord. Help us to lift you up, glorify you, praise and honor you above each and everything that we do, God. We praise you. We thank you for this day. Watch over us. Keep us safe. And we praise, we love, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.